The Lord removed her. And there was a release in the mission once again. The enemy has all kinds of devices. Sometimes they come as little old ladies. Sometimes as angels of light, the Word of God says. But the fruit is the same. There is a lack of peace, a loss of God's purposes and direction. And here's the promise of the Lord. It's His church, so whatever device the enemy has, the Lord has already given us His promise. And I just want to remind you, in case you have not read the book, sometimes when you get discouraged, you need to turn to the back of the book. Or turn to the end of the Gospels. And realize what Jesus said. It is finished. We are on the winning side.
Amen.
We can't lose that image. That's the promise of the Word. The words of Jesus Himself. Now here's the next key important thing about the church. And this applies to you specifically. The word of the Lord declares that God has said in the church, first prophets or apostles, secondly prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healing, etc., etc. Now the key word here is found in what I have put in red. God has set in the church. Ephesians 5 says it a little different. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is what you have been called to. If you don't know who you are, that's what you're about. But if you want to know what you are, You are God's gift to the church. Now that isn't a main reason for walking proud. When I was a teenager growing up, there were some young men that thought they were God's gift to women. This is not a pride issue. For some it is. But if you want to really be humble, you need to get into the Word and find out who God chooses. Not many mighty. Not many wise. And it goes on. I've told some of you my testimony. I had three brothers. Who were very athletic. As a teenager, I brought terror into everybody in my block's heart. Because I was so sickly, they were afraid if they touched me, they would kill me. My security was not in this. It was when I had a brother that was a fullback. And another brother who lifted weights. And his number one weight, do you know what they call these weights they lift?
Number one,
they call them dumbbells, right?
Dumbbells.
Well, my family, we were poor family. So for my one brother, I was his official dumbbell.
He'd
put one hand there, one hand here, and I would hold it. And I would get stiff. He would lift me like this. My first calling was a dumbbell. Not many mighty. Not many wise. But God can use a dumbbell. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. These are true stories. And I want to tell you something else. My brother, the fullback, was dead at 50. I've already outlived my father by his age. At 66, I'm only a few months from outliving my other brother. And I was the sick one. I was the one they said would not live. When I was paralyzed from the ears down, they said I would never walk or move again. And When I got married, before I got married, my father took my wife aside. He says, the doctors say you've got to look after this boy. He won't live to be 40. Not many mighty. What is the difference? The Lord. Amen. For the purpose of perfecting the saints. The Lord is returning for the church. I want to just stop there for a moment. Because I want to just step back to what we were talking about, the callings and gifts of God in your lives. Most of you in your gifting is a pastor. God is leading others into other areas of ministry, prophetic, apostolic, teaching. But as Keith shared with James and I yesterday, at your heart is the pastor.
James,
the shepherd of God's flock. In your community. And the Lord spoke these words into my heart. And I believe they are prophetic for you. The Lord says you are to lead my sheep. You are to feed my sheep. You're not to drive my sheep. You see, the chief tool that the shepherd of old used was to rescue the lambs that
strayed.
That hook on the staff was to catch them and draw them onto him. Even in shepherding, the anointing, the oil that they use to anoint the sheep is very specific. The shepherd is called to lay down his life for his sheep. There is a model that has come out of the south. That is an ungodly model. Because the model drives the sheep. It doesn't lead the
sheep.
It is a model that says to the sheep, lay down your life for me. Rather than saying to them, I am willing to lay down my life for you. You see, the pattern we have is Jesus. The other model is the one that we see in Ezekiel and Isaiah where he said, Satan, I will.
Ezekiel Isaiah guti ukalangman pinyakpung uvaluni amata akira ukasemagiluni uvanga pinyakpung.
Whenever I will enters in and lifts up self,
iman na siyolo uvagunga ukasirigutigo uvanga iman na ilonerpunga kumwag tiluniyo imining tan na ukakto tayman na.
It is not of God.
Tabatana siyungo yotito imining guti mi pingiman.
It is not of Christ.
Christ usi mi pingiman.
Paul said,
Paul siyo kaman.
It is not me, not I.
Uvanga yun nerpo.
But Christ.
Christ usi.
He did not say, I can do all things.
And
stop there. He said, I can do all things through Christ.
The
Lord is saying, lead my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now quickly to return. We're going to return to the returning. You know that the Lord is returning for the church. I don't think any of you have a doubt about that. Anybody doubt that? You understand that he wants to present to himself a glorious church. And if it is my understanding correctly of this word, it not only embodies the word glorious, but also victorious. He's not returning for a church that's holding on to the end. But one who's got a hold of the tail of the serpent and walking in victory. Amen. So we won't spend a lot of time there.
All
right. This one here is so important. And we don't have enough time this morning to stay here. But this should stir your heart. You see, so many of us are looking for something out here where God is going to reveal His glory. But God has already chosen the vessel that He's going to reveal His glory through. And that is His body. You are His body. You are the chosen vessel. The word Christian today has lost the true meaning of what it was meant when they first called them Christians in Antioch. We have Catholic Christians calling Presbyterian Christians for generations in Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland met England kanigiyani tawani wang nangangani pitakangman Catholics ni amasurita Presbyterian takeani unuktuna kaguni.
And Ian Paisley may not like it, but there's nothing Christian about the man.
Teko kaikatakun teko katakawulu unin aitariya unagarwaktiligo teko inusingin Christu simiotakti tupingin mata.
The word Christian, Christ means anointed one.
Una ukausa Christu simiotaun uvaluni Christu si unauyo.
Remember, we come back to the key verse as we started. Thou art the Christ. Christians are the anointed ones. We are the vessels that He has chosen to release His glory through. And that is why He has set in the body those various ministries to bring us to the place where we can release His glory. I remember about 12 years ago, my daughter went to the altar. She was just, she had backslidden, gone into the world, my middle girl, Jennifer. So she had misheard the scripture that said, taste and see the Lord is good. And she had found the verse that said, there is pleasure in sin for a season. But for a backslid Christian, that season's about that long. For the sinner, maybe, but for the backslidden Christian, it's misery. And we had a lady evangelist who flowed in the prophetic and the word of knowledge. A dynamic little lady like Maggie.
Say again.
A dynamic little lady like Maggie.
Then Maggie titu taman atanang masungu yaro dunik isyan itaw tuwa mikituyo.
And my daughter went up for prayer, and as she prayed for her, she leaned over and whispered in her ear.
Testimony, paniga upaguti kami ukujo milyon ituksiak tiginak tam tuksiu jijiginak taminyon isijurok tong tabunga.
And I could see her break as she stood there and began to weep before the Lord.
Atekani perujiyo amma mikiglilakto kayarakto ataniu sangan itaw turoktaka.
She didn't stand and boldly say, thus saith the Lord, you have been sinning. Hanging out in the bars and going out with this and that. My daughter came back from the altar and she looked at me. She says, Dad, it sure is embarrassing when the Lord reveals to the saints, you know, the servant of the Lord. All that you thought you were doing in secret.
You
know, in those few moments, the Lord ministered healing. And brought a heart to a place of repentance. Amen. That's what the ministry is about. So that He can release His authority. To all principalities and powers. Not just demonic, but also our spirits that are in rebellion. You know, His wisdom. The Bible says His foolishness surpasses our wisdom. Now, does that mean God is foolish? No. It's just... It is just saying that if God could be foolish, His foolishness is so much wiser than our wisdom. And once in a while, the Lord has a laugh. He reveals His heart to us, His humorous side, so that we can also share in what He shares in, His joy. You know, the Lord knows how to give a word to someone. He knows how to use the least to touch the greatest. He knows how to humble us without humiliating us. I had a very serious period in my life. How many know we need to be serious? But there is a seriousness we can put on that is a type of pride.
I'm a man of God. I'm a missionary. I'm a pastor. I'm a leader of men. I am serious.
When I went to Bible college, I entered into my serious period. It lasted for a few weeks. I had to wash dishes to help pay my way through Bible college. So I washed those dishes very spiritually, seriously. I spoke in tongues as I washed those plates. This was serious business. Future men of God were going to eat off of those plates and out of those pots. And there was a dear saint. Her name was Sister Wheeler. She was an older lady that had retired from teaching to just peel vegetables.
Sister
Wheeler. And she observed my serious face. And she watched me for a while and never said anything. Finally, Tommy, she looked at me and she says, "You know, David,
David,
God has a sense of humor. And I looked at her and I said, "Does he, Sister Wheeler?" And she said, "Yes." Didn't he make the monkeys? And I said, "Yes." And didn't he make you? I was done right there. End of serious phase. But we can be serious about the things of God. Sometimes we think we're so important when it's not anything about me or you. But it is everything about Him. Hallelujah. Glory. I want to just wrap up with this one final thought. And this may shake your theology.
una goti okausing in ilisimanegiya ni asijiniyaktuk sauyo uvaruni aura jiniyaktuk.
Because some of us have an idea that heaven is our dwelling place.
Ilatigo isimasimagotta kilang tabbatana iniksa inigine ini tuagariya bu iman.
But I want you to understand, folks, that it's the church. As we begin to understand the church, what it really is.
Unangarle ilisariya kugaku tuksiar viktan na ilisarilla taalerutigo sunayareya hangmangan.
That is our dwelling place.
Tabbatana angirkaksariya bu.
Someone recently said to me, "I'm looking for the city for the new Jerusalem."
Inung mupaktarok sa mayunga. Sivu kano sivu ne kaktunga kayunga reya kaktunga nutami Jerusalem.
You understand that the vision that was given John was illustrative. It was an example.
Tena Johannes yuta kutita yutigiyanga takuyeksauluni amma ilisagayeksauluni pilauman.
The city four square that he sees coming out of heaven.
Tena nunarik Johan Jerusalem kilang mi akkaktugo takuyanga.
Is defined right in the scripture as the bride of Christ.
Tena Jerusalem nuta goti okausing in narunaktaw si madlaking maunago nureksang Jerusalem Christusio.
Now who is the bride of Christ?
Kinyawari nureksang Christusio.
We are the bride of Christ.
Uwago yugun tukserbik tan.
The church is the bride of Christ.
Tukserbik tabatan nureksang Christusio.
Paul spoke to the men, said, "Love your wives even as Christ loved the church."
Paulus yukarok sa mga man ang nasi nyuriya si nagligisiyuk temak daw karayistiyo si tuksyakbing kutiminik nagligusung man.
So the church, that living organism, that vital structure which we know is the body of Christ.
Asyila, taan na umayuyo timiyuyo tabbani kawyamagatigo taan na timinga karayistiyo.
It is not only our present abode, the place where he is going to reveal his glory in the earth. But the Bible says even as he has ascended, we will ascend and we will descend. And it is the church of the firstborn. That is going to populate the new earth. That's the saints of all ages.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we folks, we better get used to the church. We better get loving our brothers and our sisters. I'm
going
to spend a long time with Sam and Johnny in heaven. We used to minister to the mentally retarded, the mentally underdeveloped, and people that were disabled.
And
some ministers that would come to minister at our homes there, where we had these young men and young women that were, we would say, not normal. But most of them had come to know Jesus, their Lord and Savior, and for many as their healer. And I can remember this well-known evangelist, and I won't say his name because you would know who he was, sitting at the breakfast table with a bunch of these young people, and some of them were And And I could see he was uncomfortable with some of their table manners and their behaviors. And I said, you looked at him, I said, you should get comfortable eating with these young people. Because one day they're going to sit at the marriage lamb, supper of the lamb. And I believe they're going to have better table manners than you. Amen. Whosoever will. He's chosen the church. We're going
to
wrap it up. As his habitation. That means where he is chosen to live. I want you to know you do not have to go to a Benny Hinn crusade to find Jesus. And I'm not against Benny Hinn crusades. Praise God for the harvest that has been brought in through his ministry. But the same Jesus is in every service in your congregation. When we sing, Welcome Holy Spirit, and there's only 5, 10, 20 of us present. Not
20,000, 30,000.
I want you to know it's the same Holy Spirit. The same power of God. Because the church is his habitation. It's not some arena. But the church that came and filled that arena. Second, the church exists. This is a summary as the place where the saints of God are nurtured, we're fed, and we develop, we grow. It's where God prepares us for our ministries. Because not only do you have a ministry, but every member of your congregation has been called to the ministry. The church exists to reveal the glory of God now. Not to tell people what God is doing in the Arctic, but to reveal his glory in the Arctic.
And
for all of you guys, you are the bride of Christ. And for all of you girls, you are the sons of God. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. The church is the present. That means right now. And the future dwelling place of the saints. That's us. Yes, heaven is our home. I'm not disregarding heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But when we get up there, we're not going to be fellowshipping with those that said no to Jesus. We're going to sit down with the saints of the ages. We're going to understand as we never understood before this wonderful mystery of God, which He calls the church, which He calls His bride. Will you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
Now, what I understand is when we get into the Word of God, there are not many that will stand up here and tell you something you have not read or heard before. But what we asked Holy Spirit to do this morning was to take what we have read and what we have seen and heard in the Word of God and take it from being purely a logos word and release it in the fleshly parts of our heart, so that we can have a fresh understanding. You remember what we read? That the eyes of our spiritual understanding would be opened, that we may comprehend or know what is, what the church is, who we are within the church as God's gifts to the body. The church is God's choice. It was birthed at Pentecost. To release His glory in the earth. Father, I ask right now that You'll take Your word. Lord, Your word is always a good seed. And this morning, as we have prepared our hearts as good soil, that You'll sow that seed in the soil of our hearts, that that seed will find root and it will grow and produce the fruits of righteousness in our homes, in our ministries, and in our congregations, our local church, the expression of Your body in our communities. And I ask that in Jesus' name. And I ask You, Holy Spirit, to seal Your word as only You can seal it. And we ask that in Jesus' wonderful name. And all the saints said, Amen. Give Him the glory. Thank you, Jesus.